Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV begins right now. Good to be with you as always. Welcome in. If you're watching on War Chant TV, don't forget to like and subscribe. And if you're listening, we appreciate that very, very much here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio. Corey and Ira with me, as the voice man just said, this hour brought to you by Register Sausage. Yay, sausage!
Good work. It was a throaty yay sausage.
Yeah, I was into that one.
Even though it was
a loss.
Yeah, even though it was a little pity sausage this weekend.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was it. Right. It would be cool if they'd have won that game. But hey, that wasn't Register Sausage's fault.
I was about to say,
they win every Saturday.
Blame upon Register
Sausage.
Yeah,
they win every week.
It was not. And I was talking to a good friend, Tim Lindefelt, the other day. And
yeah.
He was saying that for Thanksgiving, one of his relatives, or I think his wife Zoe's relatives, was talking about making maybe some sort of gumbo or something around the holidays, and they were talking about what kind of sausage to get.
I thought you were going
to
say casserole, but gumbo is
no.
Even better. There
and,
you go.
Yeah, and Tim stepped up and was like, well, you got to go with Registers.
Boom.
I mean, you have to.
I don't even know if
making bin money.
What else is even out there?
Are there other sausages?
I don't know. I haven't heard of any.
And we're not trying to put them out of business. You know, some people may just prefer crappy sausage.
We prefer prime
premium sausage, which is Register Sausage, run by Ben, who's a Knoll.
Diehard.
And it's a company from the Panhandle, so you can buy Register Sausage at any grocery store, most grocery stores in the Panhandle, down into Jacksonville and down towards Central Florida. But also, you can have it delivered at registermeats.com. For the holidays, man, you guys don't want to go through the holidays without your Register Sausage. They've got the andouille. They've got the cheddar jalapeno. They've got the short link, the baby. I mean,
they got it all. And tell them Headlines sent you, and you get, I think, 90% off up until January 1st.
I thought it was just a free box.
You get a free box at first. It's just to get the beak wet.
That's right.
And then they develop the taste for it.
Just promo code Corey. Corey is lying.
Plug that in there and see if that works.
Corey lies. That's the promo code.
Swiss Irish says that their Publix doesn't sell Registers just yet. He has to go to Winn-Dixie now. I don't know where you live, Swiss Irish, but that is criminal. We're going to have to get on that Publix.
Hey, don't besmirch Winn-Dixie.
Well,
it's a little different than Publix.
Registers has partnerships
all over
with wonderful restaurants and grocery stores
everywhere.
All over the country.
Yeah,
including our friends from the beef people. By the way, you're my age, Jeff. Corey, you're a young
little
person.
I can't relate to what you guys say.
Was Winn-Dixie, was it like Quick Check or something at some point or something? Like, didn't it have like a different name at some point?
It's time to get into the show. I mean, we don't have time for the Winn-Dixie Quick Check talk.
I can't remember, Ira. I am your age, roughly, a little younger. But
big star.
I'll look it up. You guys talk about Florida State football. I'll figure out
figure
the
out
history
Quick Check
of
in the
Winn-Dixie.
Yeah.
So, hey, I was thinking that today probably hit Corey hard. Really, last night into today probably hit Corey hard, because I know we've watched the sport take a right-hand turn into an area that you're not happy about,
nor
am I.
Right.
And this further bolsters that situation where college football has a problem. We're getting ready to watch conference championship games and the pending playoff, and we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about the mass exodus of coaches. And basically, the shine doesn't follow the game anymore. It follows the off-the-field stuff for what coach is going where and why. That's the real drama, and that's a problem. That's a problem for the sport. You don't want that. You want, the stuff that goes on in the National Football League when coaches leave one job and go to another one, they're not really allowed to do it until after the season is over. No teams are allowed to talk to other coaches. So we're in a situation in college now where you have Notre Dame's head coach, Oklahoma's head coach, who, by the way, has not voluntarily left that post at Oklahoma since 1946. Nobody has done that. And now I'm not begrudging him to do that, because if Lincoln Riley got what we're hearing he got, how could you say no? That said, it's not good for the sport, I don't believe.
No, I don't think any. And then what happens now, because the portal is opened up, and again, I don't begrudge anyone to go follow a coach, because these coaches leave on a whim.
Yeah.
Not a whim, but million, those big PGA Tour checks.
$90 million later.
Lincoln Riley's going to take a few guys from the team and, yeah. and as much of that recruiting class as he can take. And it just, and, but those guys on the team now can go with him with no penalty. Like imagine when Jimbo left A&M, he's like, Marvin, Cam, Kando, come on, let's go to A&M together.
I don't think he would have said Kando, but
probably, but yeah. he might have still thought there was something there. That's an NFL, that's an NFL defensive end you're talking about. So yeah, that, but yes, it's just like, man, it's just tough. I can't envision how this ends. I don't know how it ends, but like Notre Dame's coach leaving to go coach in that conference with those crazies. God love you, LSU. I love your fan base. You're awesome, but you're also crazy. And he's going to be out in 4 years or 5 years. They all are. Who's the last LSU coach that was there for a long time?
Well, what I would tell you, though, is that he did this for very specific reasons, as in, I can now go try to win a national championship,
yeah, man,
and I can't
like,
do that at Notre Dame.
Well, but he, yeah, I guess. I just, and Riley did it, too, for other reasons. It's just, have you figured it out, Ira?
Yeah, I did. More importantly, I didn't listen to any words you guys were talking about, but yeah, they bought Quick Check at one point during their, so the, they, it's a long history. There's a lot of history out there right. about Winn-Dixie, but they were really prominent in South Florida. That's why I'm a little more familiar.
A little bit more.
And Quick Check.
But
good. Yeah,
now
man,
the show's
are
over.
Are we
now the show's over.
So as far as the coaching salary stuff, you know, somebody said to me the other day that, you know, these teams, especially in the SEC, with all the money they've got, like they've got to spend it somewhere. And so the maybe the best way to distance themselves from these other conferences is to just – way over, like they're not even competing with anybody else.
Right.
Just way overspend for
trying
all these
to get
coaches.
It back down to zero, yeah.
And then nobody, you know, you, like the, what's Florida State going to do? And I know that that's, I think actually somebody emailed me a question they want to ask in number two. It's a friend of ours who we want to help out and get in the question number two. But that's a big topic.
I don't like people kind of circumventing the
no matter
normal
how close
protocol.
They are to us, right?
It does not matter. Yeah. I mean, get in the Facebook line or the Twitter line and take your chances.
So I kind of thought about this earlier because it's very important that Florida State, well, timing works out this way, that Florida State made the move to fire Willie Taggart when they did and to get situated. Could you imagine now the free-for-all if they had held on and had to enter into this market, given what Florida State is compared to Notre Dame, Oklahoma, LSU, Southern Cal?
Is that why Miami hasn't entered into the market? Like, I don't know what's going on there.
No, I don't think anybody knows what's going on there.
No, I don't think they do either. But also, they're way down here.
Yeah, I know.
Ain't nobody racing to Miami to take that job.
But the problem
when
now
these
is,
other jobs are open.
Is Florida State's down here as
well,
far
but Florida
as salary.
State's a well, fine, but they're established right now with a staff and continuity.
No,
which, that's
exactly
what I'm saying.
Right.
Thank goodness they got that situated. Right. Because if they had entered into this now, well, forget about it.
Well, and I think when you look at what Florida State's position, and we all think Mike Norvell's a good coach and can do a good job and hopefully get them back to like championship caliber. But if it's 2022, 2023, and they're 8-4, what you see the market now? What could Florida State possibly? Where could they go? They can't get Lincoln Riley for $12 million a year. They can't go get Brian Kelly for $110 million.
I would want to pay $12 million a year.
But there's no number one. There's no guarantees that you're going to get anybody better. But the market has gone to a place where the unless Florida State just opens up the somehow gets a flood of cash.
You got to hope he's the right guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You better hope.
The ceiling is a group of five coach. Like, they can't go poach a power five coach from anywhere. They have to get an assistant that's unproven. Like, that's the reality of Florida State's financial position. Because of the SEC, the Big Ten, USC, they have so much. They make $20 million a year more than you do. Vanderbilt football, because of the TV contract, makes $20 million a year more in football than Florida State and Clemson. That's nuts.
Hey, but good
That's
news.
The reality.
The ACC network has signed on with Comcast.
We buried the lead.
Everybody, there we go.
We buried
the
lead.
We get to watch the inferior product up close and personal right here in town.
Well, now it's going to be better, though, because it's going to get that Comcast money.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll get some real commercials. That would be nice because now they're distributed by Comcast as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's a long time coming. It was supposed to be Jim Phillips, the new ACC commissioner, that was, you know, obviously one of the big things when he took over. And they were trying to push it through earlier. It was all part of the Disney negotiations with Comcast. And but not before the season, at the end of the season. But at least you got it, man. At least you got it. And it's going to mean, I mean, we don't know exactly how much more it's going to mean per each school in the ACC, but probably $3 to $5 million a year. And extra revenue. So, I mean, it's something, man. It's not SEC money.
No.
But it's something.
It's just, to me, and I've said this before, but, like, we're all these teams are competing for the same thing, right? A college football championship. But there are two conferences that are like the Yankees. And everybody else is like, what, the Rays? Like, you are the
yeah, the Rays are a good example. The Rays find ways to win. No, yeah. But I'm saying the Rays find, yes, yeah, you're going to have to be like the Rays.
But you have to be like the Rays to compete with an Alabama or an LSU that can just go spend, you know, what are they giving Orgeron this year to leave? $6 million?
No, so I think it's, well, $6 million this year.
Yeah, but
right.
It's more than that of
so
life. Yeah.
But next year they'll be paying what? In the neighborhood of $17 million a year just in head coaching salary.
Oh, you saw the number.
That's nuts. So that's what you're competing with. So you have to be like the Tampa Rays. You have to be an incredibly run organization. The way it is right now, the way college football is set up right now, to be a team so that gets that kind of, the disparity is so great.
Well, we also know that athletic directors have to act very quickly now because of this early signing period. We've
figured that's really thrown a wrench into things.
This has been a big problem because now you've got, think about it this way, that potentially, it's not even crazy to think about, Notre Dame could make the college football playoff and their head coach just said peace.
What has to happen for that?
That can't be a good look, by the way.
Georgia has to be.
That can't be good for college football.
No, at all. They're going to have an interim coach in a
playoff game. College football, maybe. I mean, it's not wild to think that they could get
Well, Cincinnati might make it, and their coach might be going to Notre Dame.
I love how my man, the guy that's going to Florida, is like, no, I must coach in my bowl game. It was non-negotiable.
Yeah.
I've got to coach. But Brian Kelly's like, peace, I'm out, in an 11-minute meeting this morning, and his team may be in the playoff.
It leaks, Ira, I think I'd avoid the meeting. I think you got to go have the meeting before we know it's about to hit the fan. You can't wait. Like,
well, that's why
you
don't
go to bed overnight here.
And the people can say, well, you know, he didn't announce it. It leaked. It's like, well, don't accept the job until you've talked to your players.
Well, that's the same exact thing happened with Jimbo here. Is that week he was trying to stall so he could coach that ULM game, and John Thrasher was like, no, man,
no,
you need to tell me right now. Are you here or are you not? And he said, I'm not. And he's like, okay, well, tell the team goodbye. Because you're done.
Because you're done, yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. The other thing about...
I'm pretty sure I would have skipped the 7 a.m. meeting to go hear my head coach tell me peace out. I'd have been like, all right, well, I'll get the
Well, I know you would have definitely skipped it. 7 a.m., you
I'm not getting up
devastated.
At 6:30, so Brian Kelly
can... 7 a.m., they said your son is playing a sport. You'd be like, 7?
Yeah,
Let alone to be told somebody's leaving you.
Yeah, no thanks.
You could have gone and, like, brought popcorn or something, like, just, like, show up in your robe.
Yeah.
And just, like, kick up your feet.
Kind of throw some kernels at him.
Just like, what do you got to say, coach?
Yeah.
What are you going to tell
us? What, are you going to make me run laps, huh, and just start throwing kernels at him? Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the whole thing... On the one hand, it's the salaries are ridiculous. What we thought was going to happen is more and more schools realized how ridiculous it is to get all this money tied up in coaches. And, you know, you have a situation with Florida State where they're going to be paying Willie Taggart, you know, millions of dollars over the several more years. I mean, they're going to be paying Willie Taggart for, I think, 3 more years. And, you know, as these things happen, the Orgeron situation, all these other, that maybe they would figure out a way to scale it back, but instead it's going the opposite way.
Well, this gets back to the need to have a commissioner of college football and to reel some of this in. I'm not talking about begrudging people their money. I'm not counting money. I am saying that you got to have the best interest of the sport in mind, and nobody does right now.
Well, and that
nobody
does. That would, you know, again, to the point you were making earlier, Corey, about like Vanderbilt making $20 million more than Florida State. If it eventually does go to the super conferences, or a super conference, whatever it is, then that creates that scenario where now you've got only the football teams making the football money,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have these other teams that just happen to be in that conference.
Yeah, Vanderbilt can just concentrate on baseball.
Well, and I do think that we have to find, I mean, if college football is going to survive in the way that you would want it to, the most healthy manner possible, where every region of the country has a representative that has a chance to perhaps make a college football playoff if it expands or whatever else. You do have to find a commissioner here to get a handle on what you can and can't do.
That'll probably happen
football.
If they ever do a super conference, right?
Like, we may be seeing the all of those pieces laying out with the NCAA basically throwing up their hands and saying, look, we're out. Maybe you guys need your own governing body. Well, okay, let's have a governing body for these 65 or whatever it is football schools. And then if that happens, then – they would have to tear up the TV deals. They would have to have some sort of revenue sharing. And then maybe you could get to a place where it is more like a professional league. The challenge there is then, you know, obviously they got to figure out a way to keep compensating or more compensate the athletes as well. Because at that point, you're basically going to a pro model.
Yeah. No, and people would say, like, why would Brian Kelly leave Notre Dame, you know, the pinnacle of the sport based on history? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that you can win a national championship at Notre Dame. Right. You could do about what he did, which is actually an incredible job. He consistently had them winning 11 games, which is a minor miracle where they are in the middle of nowhere, that godforsaken town, with the strict standards to get in, all of that stuff. They still found a way. Now, once they got in and they had to play real teams, they got their ass beat. But that was always going to be his ceiling. And the last three coaches to coach at LSU have won a national championship.
And so two of them were not as good a coach as he is.
Right. So he's like, look, I'm 60. They're going to pay me more money than I thought I'd ever see in my life. I've got an incredible fan base, and I've got a free reign to rule the state with the greatest defensive lineman every year that the country has to offer.
Who's by 65, I'll be getting a huge payout.
And maybe we'll have my 100%. National title.
Yeah, well, exactly right. They both can happen.
Yeah.
Who's going to look at the other one more side-eyed, like the Louisiana natives? When they hear him talk, or him when he hears them talk.
The first time he sits down at a good old Baton Rouge restaurant, and they say, what do you want? Yeah, that's going to be a tough
one. He's like, do you have white rice and like bread? He's like, no, here's some etouffee or some salt. He's like, what is this?
Are you speaking English? Yeah. There'll be people scared to death.
Speak the language. Yeah. That's what he's, I mean, and that part is going to be fascinating. But if they get past that part, just to the X's and O's, I mean, the reason Jimbo loved that LSU job, the reason he coveted it, was because you get that whole state, and it's a very talented
state.
That's
what I'm saying. The defensive linemen that they produce every year.
All those guys. And so now, if you take a guy who can really coach and put it together a really good system, they could be a force. But that culture part is going
to
be interesting.
What is interesting to me is that there were three big jobs, I think. Now Notre Dame counts, but like USC, LSU, and Florida were the three biggest jobs that were open 4 days ago. USC got the Oklahoma head coach. LSU got the Notre Dame head coach, and Florida got the guy from ULL. Now, I'm not saying Napier won't do a good job. We have no way to know. Nobody could know. But that is a little
– Those are the
if
more,
you're a Florida fan, you're like, well, how does LSU have more money than we do? They don't. So why did we get the ULL guy?
Because it's perhaps the better hire. Who knows? And they also maybe didn't want to spend – $14 million a year on a football coach.
Why not? Who cares?
Well, because
the money's just funneling in.
Well, because you just said it. There's no guarantees any of those guys succeed at their new location.
But they don't lose money.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to pay $7 million and not $14
million. It's like Bezos losing money on a yacht. Who cares? You're just going to buy another yacht.
Yeah. It is frustrating, though. It's just a bad look for college football. And it's not even, again, about begrudging the money. It's about the inability to have any sort of real competition. And which is what you keep going to. It's like there's like 10 schools. We do this every year. At the start of every year, we're like, okay, which four schools have a chance to win a national title this year? Now, you could argue that the history of the sport suggests that it was always been a small group of teams that could win a national championship. But I would counter with we've seen many examples back in the day in which a greater representation across the country existed. See BYU, Colorado, you name it. You can go on with these teams that at least had a chance at times. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
We got to go back to the beginning here and catch up on those that appreciate and contribute to the work that we do here. And let's say some thank yous out there. I know I've skipped over a few people early on. Rob, thank you. He had no question. He just contributed to what we're doing. Really
thank you, Rob.
That. Thank you very much, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Appreciate that. And then also skipped over our friend Sky Ninja. So if the future of FSU is the transfer portal, should we be investing in one and done like basketball elites do, with obviously a few elite high school recruits? It's always a weird balancing act, I would say. I don't think you want your core of your team to be rooted in the transfer portal. It's easy to check out if you're a transfer portal guy. Now, they were fortunate. They had some guys this year that came in that did anything but check out. They remained invested and they fought. But I don't think that's the norm of the transfer portal. I think most guys see things going off the rails. They're a kind of a mercenary at that point, and they say, well, peace, what do I have to play for here? I'm not invested. I didn't grow up in this culture. This coach didn't recruit me.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you want the core of your talent to come up through recruiting, high school recruiting, that is, and then you need to fill in the gaps, if possible, with guys from the transfer portal.
Yeah, and I think the best case scenario, and I think you see a lot of examples of it on this team, is if you had a prior relationship or somebody on your staff had a prior relationship with the kids when they were coming out of high school, so you've already done that research, that lets you know that, okay, I'm getting into a good situation. The last thing you want is bring in a kid and they become a malcontent and they're only there for 1 year, they're a mercenary, and now they degrade some of the stuff you're trying to build from a team perspective. with FSU, Jermaine Johnson, the fact that he'd been at Georgia, where Dan Lanning, who worked with Mike Norvell before, that those relationships certainly helped. Keir Thomas, Odell Higgins recruited Keir Thomas out of high school. So then when Keir Thomas, I'm sure, vouched for Jamie Robinson, that probably carried a lot of weight. That's the key. You just don't want to take, you know, the one guy that they got where they, I think they had no relationships, was probably Andrew Parchment. And I think they knew what they were kind of getting into with Andrew Parchment, that there would be some hiccups in terms of getting him to buy in and work the way they wanted him to work, because he'd never been exposed to that. And they got through it, but clearly that was not a rousing success.
Hey, the 4th and 14. We'll always have that. And I think he led the country in offensive pass interference for a wide receiver.
He does have that.
He had 4 this year, including 2 in his
last
game. We'll
look back fondly in the record book.
Yeah, yeah, that's that. I don't think that can ever be broken. I don't think anybody's going to get 5 in a year. But the answer to the question, like, yeah, they're going to keep going after 1 year, guys.
It's the modern football.
But yeah, it's also where they are right now. They can't afford to, like, this is going to be a good class they're bringing in high school-wise. This class isn't going to win a many games in 2022. Maybe a couple of the skill guys make big plays.
Right.
But the majority of this class probably won't even play much in 2022. So even if this is a top 10 class, you've got to have 10 guys that you think are ready made to come in and contribute and just at least add depth.
In particular this season. It's different every year, and once you build up a core base of talent,
you don't need it up much. You can sprinkle around some.
This is going to be a critical year. Ira and I were talking about this yesterday on the Jeff Cameron Show, 1-3.
See, I keep tuning in 3-6 on the other stage.
Yeah,
I keep hearing Christian stuff, religious
it's
stuff.
It's right here. 93.3
now. That's right.
1-3 p.m.
Yeah, okay. But we were talking about this. It's a
if
vital
If you set your alarm, there's
you
a
might
chance.
Be awake,
12:45, I get my eggs, and I start listening. Yeah.
Get going there. A little andouille sausage. JCS is coming on. So, but by the way.
What were you doing?
I was cutting the sausage.
Oh.
Cutting the sausage.
I didn't understand the hand.
I was really celebrating that the JCS was starting. No. What I'm saying is that this is a vital offseason as far as the transfer portal goes. We already know about the recruiting class, and it's important that they get a lot of, you know, signed signatures there on the line, which is dotted. But I do say that you're going to have to replace quite a bit, it looks like. So,
well,
you know, if you just – I'm worried with all that they've lost juxtaposed to the success, some of the successes we saw in the second half of the season. Anticipation is going to be for some sort of 8-9 win campaign, but if you lose the bulk of that group up front, you ain't winning 8 or 9 games.
Well, you are if you replace them with
good
guys.
That's why I say it's absolutely vital.
Yeah.
Well, there's two things. One is, you know, the All-ACC team came out today, and I think as we've all noted, of 8 guys from FSU that were received recognition, you had 2 first-teamers, Jamie Robinson and Jermaine Johnson. Jermaine Johnson, who I think will be named ACC Defensive Player of the Year tomorrow, which is pretty cool considering – nobody knew who he was a year ago.
Right.
And then on the 2 third team is Jayshon Corbin and another third team.
Keir Thomas.
And then 4 honorable mentions.
Honorable mention. Fabian was one of the 4 guys that got honorable mention. But 8 guys got some sort of recognition. It's the most since 2016. And only 1 of the 8 actually signed with Florida State out of high school. The other 7 are transfers. So that says 2 things. 1, man, this roster was garbage. The reason, because of those 2 coaching changes that they've had to totally overhaul it. But the other side of it is positive is they did identify guys that came in and had some success.
And coached them up and put them in positions to succeed, which should portend of other guys saying yes in the transfer portal because they've seen an example of how it can work. Ryan writes, can we go after a punt catcher in the portal?
Yes.
Doesn't even need to return the ball, just catch it.
100%.
Yeah, a 300-pounder with hands will do.
Anything.
If he can move. That's a tight end. I don't care. Is whatever they don't have to be able to run fast. Just be able to go get the ball, be fearless, and make good decisions.
That's all you
need.
It is maddening to watch.
It is, and I'm starting to blame the other players on the punt return team to not assume it's going to be dropped. Like, quit even blocking.
Just run back
just
and go
run
for the
back
recovery.
And circle pokey because the ball is going to be on the ground. Or whoever or it is, Travis Jay, Keyshawn Helton.
You guys might be able
a
to
new
go,
way of designing a punt return. Now, you're going to go back circle behind him.
Yeah.
There's no chance in hell he's going to catch it. He, in essence, is a decoy.
Right. Now, you start sprinting towards the goal line and cut it off at the 7 and turn around.
You guys all have a better chance of picking it up once it starts rolling around.
Yeah.
Than you do actually catching it. Now, I know that's not the way it works the rest of the country over.
Yeah, we're doing things
differently
here.
Everybody else catches it. But we have our own way of doing things
here.
That was
pretty maddening about that game because I think, you know, I think there's a good chance they win that game. I know it shouldn't come down to one play. Maybe it doesn't. It's 10-7 in that spot, right? You just got to stop. You should have the ball.
It's important to catch that.
Of course, the kid.
And it was only 10-7 because you gave him a short field because of another special teams.
So, of course, the kid booms a Ray Guy punt because why wouldn't he? I mean, opponent's punting average against this team this year might have been an all-time record. I mean, every guy averaged 50 yards a punt. But
this league's nothing if it's not a league of punting.
But if he
although that was a Florida punter.
Say Greg Reed is the punt returner there in that spot.
I bet he catches it.
Not only does he catch it.
Doesn't call for a fair catch.
You're getting the ball at least at midfield, probably on their side of the
field. You think he's going to make the first guy miss?
Probably. Yeah. And it's again, he outkicked his coverage.
I mean, think about those two possessions before. One, they punt from their own 35, and they're playing – or excuse me, when they punted the first time, it was a bad punt, and it's
terrible
a short
punt,
field.
Yeah.
But the next time they had it, and they went for it, they punted instead of going for it to pin them back. They pin him inside the one, which you think is going to give you great field position. Instead, you end up going back at your own 30. So two times in a row, you should have been pinning them back, and both times they ended up far
on
your side of the
field. That's obviously got to improve drastically. If they just had good special teams, not elite, good, they win a game or two extra this year.
That he sleeps. I mean, if I'm Mike Norvell, for as buttoned up as I am, because I'm Mike Norvell.
Right.
I'm organized.
Yeah.
I'm up early working out.
Right.
I'm there at the office. I'm working late. We have practices that are really organized. And I coach the hell out of special teams. I watch Papuchas do it every day. It seems like we're in order. And then the games happen. So it's got to be a thing where you would just lay in bed and wake up, or if you did fall asleep, like with night sweats.
Yeah.
Like, how is this possible? Because it is true. All jokes aside. When you watch the whole of college football and you flip around every Saturday like we all do, everybody catches it. Now, we see blunders. It happens.
Yeah.
It's the game of football. It's played by humans. But 99% of the time, you see the ball in the air and the kid waiting to catch it, you assume he's going to catch it.
Yeah.
Not us. Mm-hmm. You never make that assumption.
It really has become a self-fulfilling prophecy because Travis Jay botched some, Keyshawn Helton botched some, Ontario Wilson botched some. Trayshawn Ward certainly botched some in his opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, they all just went back there like, I think it was like this storm cloud over them in that whole position, and they just – none of them could step up and get through it.
Oh, yeah, the weight of it. It's like, yeah, like you say, self-fulfilling.
Well, what bothers me the most about that particular – when he's not trying to drop a ball, and he probably lost in the sun, but it's like it goes back to maybe a philosophy that's not getting instilled in practice is, why in the world when a kid boots the ball that far would you ever fair catch it? He is, by definition, he has outkicked his coverage.
Mm-hmm.
He's punted at 60 yards. You know that. You had to sprint back to catch it.
Well, man,
not thinking about that.
It's the same thing as Trayshawn letting those balls bounce, where you just cannot let it bounce. And they were telling him.
But that's like scared of making a mistake.
I think it was scared of being criticized.
Fair catching a 60-yard punt is massive.
No.
All of this has become this.
The idea of calling a fair catch on a 60-yard punt is asinine, but not for the person who's only obsessing about catching the ball.
Well, I wish he'd obsess
harder,
am I right,
they're not thinking about
guys?
All of the other aspects of a punt return,
yeah.
Save for this singular
again.
Thing.
It's easier for you in the press box to think that, or us.
Well, but I mean,
that's coaching, man. I mean, I'm not saying
I
it's
hear
coaching.
You. I'm just saying, but it's if what's happened the first 11 games hadn't happened, I don't think that happens to Poke.
Right. Getting back to this. The reason he's not thinking about how dumb it is to call for a fair catch on a 65-yard punt is he's not thinking about anything other than I have to catch this because we're forever dropping these. I've got to
roll
catch
30
this.
Yards.
And he knows. So he's not. He hasn't taken the time to think,
I feel like that's something maybe you have all week to work on this.
Oh, I'm sure. By the way, you've been to practice. He's been to every practice. I've been to a lot of practices. They practice.
But are they telling
stuff?
These
They're not
guys?
Saying,
like,
hey, screw
no, I know
up.
That. I know, but that is a specific situation
where
I'm
sure it's talked
Pokey,
about.
If you sprint backwards to catch a punt, because we don't know at Florida State because they're punting right-footed, left-footed. He's not booming the 60-yarders. But when you sprint back 15 yards to go catch a punt, you cannot fair catch it because the whole you are going to gain 20 yards in field position, but he clearly didn't think to do that.
How many times have you talked to a coach, whether it's in basketball or baseball or football, and say, why did that kid do that? And they're like, I don't know. We just told them not to do that.
We have
no idea.
I mean, I'm just saying it happens. I'm not saying it excuses the coaches.
It only happens at one school.
I'm just saying you're assuming they don't even talk about it. I'm saying they may talk about it, and it didn't work.
Okay, but at the end of the day, it matters what's happened on the field, and clearly they're not getting coached up well in that specific role.
I think it's the totality of all the crap that's happened and all the crap they've gotten that's led them to this place where they're all domed up.
Jordan Wilson out there, man. He ain't afraid to get hit. He's
I'm
a
just
big
saying,
old dude.
It's not because they haven't discussed when you fair catch and when
I'm
you
sure
don't.
I'm sure it's come up in the meeting rooms.
Jal Papuchas coached the special teams group that was one of the best in the country.
Yeah,
Mike Norvell is in there. Michael Norvell goes to all their special teams meetings.
Right.
I don't think this hasn't been discussed.
It's like when you see a backcourt that turns the ball over excessively. Well, I mean, you know, it's not coached that way. If a kid is just incessantly taking risks or believes in himself or whatever it might be or lacks confidence, then you see things fall to pieces. But it's not coached that way. It's even brought up not to do that. But it happens all the time. Nobody says, I don't want to call out any particular kid, but we've had some kids in the backcourt at Florida State over the years that turn the ball over more than others.
Sure.
So you know
you
they're
name
not
names.
Well, they're not coaching that up. Of course they're not. Every week they're saying, guys, we value the basketball. We can't have live ball turnovers that lead to transition baskets. And we've had teams, not lately, but we've had teams that turn the ball over incessantly.
I mean, think of some of the passes like Luke Laux would make.
I mean, yeah.
And like, I love Luke.
Right.
But he would make passes, and Leonard would be like, we invent ways to turn the ball
over.
Yeah,
you could see the look on his face. Like, what the hell?
It's not like they weren't discussing
it. But I think it's not like I don't think that they care about it, or even that they might have said, Pokey, if the ball's kicked 60 yards, do not fair catch it. I don't know that it was ever discussed, because at some point in the middle of this season, just catching the ball became the biggest issue. It wasn't even strategy. It was just, please go catch the ball. But at the same time, at the end of the day, 12 games into this debacle of a special team season.
No, but nobody's arguing with you that that's unacceptable. That has to be fixed. Agreed.
Okay, but.
So what's the.
I was just saying, look at.
Well, because you were saying is that, like, they don't discuss it. And I'm like, how do you.
No,
why
I didn't
do you
say
think
they don't
discuss
it. I didn't say they don't discuss it. I'm saying
exactly
I don't know
what
you said. I don't know if they discuss it.
Well, you said, why don't they discuss
it? Oh, sorry. But clearly, Pokey didn't hear it.
All right, man, let's move on.
Yeah. Which quarterbacks do the Noles go after in the transfer portal? No, definitely, Eric, not Joe Milton of Tennessee, who's terrible. And I don't want Bo Nix, and I don't want Spencer Rattler, so we can put all those guys to rest. I do think you should go after somebody in the transfer portal, just so that if Jordan Travis gets hurt, we don't automatically lose. So you do need to find a backup.
That, to me, is one of the most fascinating portal watches for Florida State, because it's not like an established Power 5 starter is going to come to compete for a job with a guy that is entrenched. And whatever we think about Jordan Travis, he is entrenched. He is the starter if he's healthy. So what are the possibilities on the portal from Florida State's side of guys that would be interested in them?
So I would argue that you would go after, let's say, just a decent group of five quarterback.
Well,
right?
And I was going to say, like, back when Spurrier was in Florida and I was covering them, Brian Schottenheimer transferred to Florida to learn under Spurrier. You know, he wanted to become a coach, yeah. So he wanted to learn under Spurrier. I think Mackenzie Milton, one of the things that attracted him to Florida State was being around Mike Norvell. I think he thinks highly of Mike Norvell because they had gone against each other, and he liked
his
those
offense.
Teams looked like.
Yes.
So I think that's going to be the appeal is a guy who could come in, could play if he needs to, but maybe he isn't thinking he's an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, who's not thinking, I'm a starter no matter
played,
what.
So then what's the positive there is that you are we assuming Rodemaker is just not a thing? Like, that's not going to be
I'm
a thing?
Not,
well, no, but I mean,
all.
You're certainly just adding to the quarterback room. You're creating
right.
competition. You're giving yourself more margin for error.
Yeah.
You want to do all of those things at every position group, by the way. Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with that.
I think if you go with a young, you know, like a young guy who's like a 4 or 5-star guy that came out of high school a year ago and wasn't happy and coach got fired or whatever, and he wants to come in, the challenge there, man, is that guy's probably going to want to play right away.
Yeah.
And A.J. Duffy's not going to be thrilled about that guy coming
right.
in.
And neither is the kid behind him, the 2023 kid, Parsons. So, but that to me is what's fascinating about it. Like, this time last year, Florida State had a wide-open vacancy sign, well-lit. Mm-hmm. Quarterback, you can come play. That's not there anymore. So the people, you know, of course, if Caleb Williams wanted to come, you'd be like, Jordan, sorry, bud.
Sorry, yeah, I'm taking
He's coming. You got to win the job again. But otherwise, you're basically in the portal for a backup. And that's a different pool. That's a different pond.
It is a different pool, but I mean, it exists.
And I think you're right. I think a group of five, I think even an FCS kid with experience that wants to play big boy football might want to come. Is the Jacksonville State kid? Has he got any options?
You
saw that dime he threw at the end of the game.
You certainly have to find somebody that is at least competent so that if, in fact, Jordan goes down, it's not automatically we can't move the ball. We're screwed.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, Jordan goes down a lot. So that is something you're going to have to
settle down with a lot. He finished the last 7 games he started.
By the way, I thought that was really
and
important.
The whole half against the Gators when the game
not
was
a whole half.
He missed 2.5 series.
He came back
and
led
didn't
the
make
drive.
A difference.
You're
no, right.
It did. It did.
What are we doing? Are we now arguing that Jordan Travis has had injury problems?
Like it's 2020 Jordan Travis, and it's not Jordan 2020 Georgia. He couldn't get through a game at times.
You
last
see what
year.
I deal with?
Yeah.
I was right about Pokey. Say it now. Say I was right. No, but he's right. Like the thing, I thought that game Saturday was a huge a huge moment in Jordan Travis's career because of the toughness he showed.
Oh, he's always been tough. I've never questioned toughness.
You know, last year he'd leave a game and he wouldn't come back. This year he left the biggest game, saw that disaster that happened after he left. Whatever they did in the locker room to get him right, he came in and played the last half of the game and ran for 100 yards.
I don't think he's lacked toughness.
Well, he's been banged up, but he's also the last seven games, last eight games, he played them all except for the one that he had the flu. So, and he was hurt in some of those games, but he still fought through it. I think this season, I don't know if it was before the Syracuse game where he didn't practice one day and then the next, or he had a knee brace on and then the next day he's out there.
After the Louisville game, those next couple days.
Something flipped and he became a, I don't know if tougher is the right word, but would play through injuries because you have to as a quarterback.
There's a difference between, like, some athletes, if they don't feel good, they feel like they can't perform.
Right.
So it's not like, hey, I'm not tough. It's just, man, I can't do the things you want me to do. But at some point, players need to realize, man, you at 80%
is better than any option we have currently. And because he's better at 80% than any option we have, you do need to go bring in a quarterback.
Yeah, well, you absolutely do. But you might have three, and Rodemaker might be a guy that you like because right now you have three with Duffy coming in.
But you're not going to go to Duffy as a freshman in all likelihood if Jordan goes down.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if Rodemaker's not the guy in the spring as your second string guy, then obviously that he won't be playing here. You know what I mean? Like if he's not your viable backup, if you have to go to the portal again, then that tells me that they don't think Rodemaker can do it here, which is fine. Not everybody's built to play at Florida State, but you have to go get it. If you're going to go get one, get an experienced guy that gives you some depth.
I do worry, and this is, I think it should be self-evident, is his shoulder in need of like reconstruction? Because that injury is constant. It happens a lot. It has happened a lot. How about that? It's a better way of saying it. It's the shoulder. Frequently.
Don't know.
And that's another reason that you have to make sure you have requisite depth.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
But did that happen this year? I mean, it happened last year. Has it happened this year?
Well, it happened in the Florida game.
Oh, in the weight game.
He got hurt as well.
He ran off.
But
the
that was like
that.
He got hit.
I know, but he ran off like that. So I thought it was something with his shoulder too.
It's a frequent thing. It has been in his career.
But man, I thought again about him. That was about with the people he has around him, and in that environment, and that he was banged up for him to go do what he did. I thought.
I thought
that was a really good game for him. For how maybe teammates think about him now moving forward, for him to come back out and play like that.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to make it clear that when I say somebody's injury prone, it doesn't mean I think they're soft.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
I mean, I never thought Jordan Travis was soft. I just thought he was injury prone.
Yeah, I mean, he played nine games this year, came out of three of them. You know what I mean?
And
the Notre Dame game, the weight game, and then this game.
He came in, his helmet came off.
Well, then they also said that he had cramps.
But he was playing through that.
Right, I gotcha. But the point is,
they were explaining why they didn't put him back in the game.
You can understand that, like, you know, he's the number one QB. But yeah, it isn't a guarantee, like it isn't with most people, that he's gonna survive a full season.
I mean, you say the same thing for Christian Ponder.
Yeah, and you had a good backup.
Yeah, yeah. You would make that point back then. But you have to have a good backup.
Yeah, go get you an EJ Manuel.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. How you doing there, podcasters? Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us. You might see us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I mean, I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a I probably shouldn't have said that.
Hot beer and cold women at some bars.
Whatever you're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's sure, all right. But even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately good food.
The most important part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got that vibe. But beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
You eat the hummus. Who eats
really
that?
Good.
He does. At Horizons
Bar
and Grill.
I didn't know I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizons got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. It's just a great place to hang out. And if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the... right off of Thomasville Road and Bannerman up there on the Northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo!
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
So, I do wonder, as we continue to follow, and by the way, guys, go to warchant.com to read the latest on all this madness, and it is madness right now in the world of college football, but in particular, everybody's concerned, obviously, about what Florida State's going to do in the transfer portal along with the signing class, and that changes by the minute.
Yeah,
so it's not just, not just self-promotion. It's true. Michael Langston has updates incessantly on warchant.com to find out who we're visiting and who the hell we're interested in, the two linemen yesterday, all of that is interest.
We were talking about this yesterday on Jeff's show, Corey, which now you'll be able to listen to because you know when
wait.
And where it is.
I've been really confused for a few months.
But that balance between jumping on the first available players versus like how long do you hold out to see what else is going to be out there?
Because
I think on the two ends of the spectrum last year, you know, like when they took Mackenzie Milton, and not long after that they took the DB from UCF who ended up not Bam Moore or whatever his name was, who ended up not playing. They jumped on him pretty early because he was a talented player and McKenzie liked him and it made sense. But then later in the year, when you're looking at how many spots they have left, it's like, dude, how many DBs did you guys bring in? They brought in him, McClellan, Jamie Robinson. They brought in all these DBs. And then late in the year when you don't have as many spots, you know, so that to me, I don't know how you decide that. Because like in a recruiting cycle, it's pretty obvious, you know, when signing day is and they're all available. But with this, you don't know who's going to come available.
No, and like the teams from the players from the really good programs, it ain't going to be for at least till the playoff, like for those four. And then like if Alabama, God willing, loses this weekend, maybe they have a couple guys that get in the portal before the bowl game. But yeah, I think last year, you know, they had just gone through COVID, and it was like, oh, you'll say yes. You're interested in us.
They needed numbers. Right, but you're visit like people personally.
Like the kid at Arkansas, who, you know, he's fine, McClellan, but he's not Jamie Robinson. He's like, oh, you'll say yes. You're interested in us. Okay, yeah, we got a spot for you.
You started in the SEC.
Yeah, Auburn kid, the DJ Williams, the running back. One, it's like those are guys that I think
I found
now.
That one curious, by the way, of all of them.
Yeah, that was. But like now, when you look at like how they're recruiting and what they, I feel like they're going to be a little bit more selective about like, okay, yeah, this kid, and they got the Cushney kid late, but it's like, yeah, this kid could play for us. I don't know that we want to extend an offer yet because this guy might be coming open.
In December.
Yes.
When we don't know what it's going to be.
But when is the portal? Isn't this like the heaviest time for
it
the
is,
portal?
It is, but then it kind of kicks back up after spring football because some guys like Dylan Gibbons was out of
the
spring.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, I guess you'll find numbers, right? Like just even if you take 10 in the next 3 weeks, you're still going to find numbers.
Impact guy, then yes,
if you know 100%, you get him now. Yeah,
especially if it's a position need. But other guys who are just good quality depth players, maybe you wait.
If it's an offensive lineman, Dylan Gibbons, you made fun of that, and we were like, man,
no.
I have a feeling it's going to work out.
We're not going to do this where I like became like, ah, Dylan Gibbons can't play. I was saying y'all were sold that he was going to be an improvement.
What we're not going to do is have you pretend that you didn't say that Dylan Gibbons had no chance.
No, I did not say he didn't have any chance.
You thought he'd be
a depth guy at best.
No.
Like that's yes, what you did.
Y'all were guaranteed that he was going to upgrade the offensive
line. Which is what he did.
But we've all been wrong. I'm not saying y'all were wrong in that sense, but I'm saying
We're saying you were wrong.
No.
You got to clarify.
I wasn't convinced because he didn't do anything at Notre Dame. Just because he was at Notre Dame doesn't mean he's going to be good here.
Yes, it does.
But now it does.
Compared to what they're trotting out?
Now it does. I mean, Notre Dame has bad guys right now you wouldn't take. I promise
our point was they took a guy from FIU and he became their best lineman in 2020.
Yes. Right,
if this guy played at Notre Dame and he did play.
And moreover, he was recruited by a group of people that loads together NFL offensive linemen on the regular.
But we're going to go check the tapes because I did not say that Gibbons could not play.
No, you
poo-pooed
the idea that he could have an impact.
That he might be one of their best offensive linemen.
I poo-pooed the idea that he, like, it was 100% definite he would
be. Nobody said it was 100%
deficit. But you're
also basing things based on percentages, projections. We don't know that somebody's not going to get hurt, for example, but we don't evaluate that way.
You've spent the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks saying that you don't think Tate Rodemaker's in their plans and can play at Florida State. He's basically a bust. or a miss.
Well, not a bust.
If he comes back later and plays, you can't come back and say, well, I didn't say he couldn't do it. Well, yeah, I mean, you said.
But I didn't say that about Gibbons. I didn't say that about Gibbons. Oh, I said he was the seventh guy at Notre Dame, and you're like, he's going to be the best lineman they have. I'm like,
we were right.
Right, but there was nothing that he had done at Notre Dame other than being at Notre Dame.
Other than be recruited by Notre Dame. But they compared to what we have at FSU.
But he ended up being
good. Guys from Northern Illinois roll in and are immediately better than anybody else.
He ended up being good. I did never say he was going to be terrible. He wasn't going to help.
We didn't say he did.
He just did.
No.
He didn't say you said he'd be terrible.
He said he wouldn't make an impact. You said he wouldn't make an impact.
You intimated he would not make an impact.
You guys are crazy. Why are we relitigating this? We got special teams to talk about. We got transfer portal to talk about. We got Billy Napier. We got so many things to talk about.
Raekwon Evans not going to play, not the end of the world, but no Ngum and no McLeod means that Purdue's bigs are going to have a field day, and I'm not happy about this game tonight, guys. Just want to let you know, I'm first guessing, but we got a problem tonight,
it's going to be a big problem,
I think. Just going to put it out there.
You know, their leading scorer is this kid, the 7'4 kid, Purdue. His name's Zach Edey, I think. Uh-huh. He's 7'4". He averages 17.7 points and 8 rebounds a game in 19 minutes.
Yeah, it's a
problem. He plays 19 minutes a game and is averaging 17.
Talk us off the ledge.
Oh, no, he's not going to do that.
It's going to be a tough game.
He thinks it's a problem as well.
It's a problem.
The two things
Purdue's going to be a problem.
The only thing I'd say about this game is, yes, Purdue's offense has been great, but as Corey pointed out in his preview story today, you know, they did beat Carolina and they did beat Villanova. I don't think he had quite those numbers. I don't think he had quite those numbers in those games. But the other four games they put was like Bellarmine and whoever. So they got
Nebraska,
some numbers.
Omaha.
Two pretty good wins, though.
Right. So yeah, they're good.
They're averaging 92 points a game and shooting 55%, which is number two or three in the country, field goal percentage. But Florida State's defense has been good. And I think that athleticism will create challenges for them. I mean, Florida State does have some athletic ability. That kid's 7'4". I don't know that Malik Osborne, I mean, he's going to front him all day. But it's going to be a challenge. So, it's going to be a tough test and a tough environment, and they're a veteran team. There's not much to feel good about Florida State's chances other than just compete.
We lost 80-64 there, as I recall, 2 years ago against Purdue, right? And
no, Indiana.
That was Indiana.
Oh, yeah. Indiana, sorry, yeah. ACC Big Ten Challenge, sorry.
Right.
So got boat raced in that one, unfortunately, and I think this could be worse unless we hit a ton of threes, which is possible.
Yeah, and they don't. I mean, they might not be great defensively, so you could get up and down and score. But yeah, it's a good test for them early though.
It's a good test.
It's a good test. See where you are. Get you back to the drawing board, and then they got Syracuse. They open up ACC play
this
on
weekend.
Saturday. Yeah, yep. At home, which is crazy that they're already opening up
it's
ACC.
Happening
play.
That quickly, and I'm looking forward to that because I think we'll all be there at the same time. I don't know if you're going to be in town.
No, man. It's Georgia's playing Alabama in the SEC championship game exact same time.
I'll be there. I'll be covering that game.
Well, let's yell at the Vista. Let's yell at each other in the next hour.
We got questions. We can yell at the questioners. Coming up next on Seminole Headlines.